morning. It's good to be with you this morning. We have a few announcements we would like to share with you about the life here at First Baptist. We're delighted to have you if you're visiting for the first time or have been here for longer than I've been alive. We're delighted that you are here this morning. Arthur Francis is going to come and share a little bit about an exciting opportunity we have next week.
Good morning. For about 40 years, this church has had a connection with American Baptist Ministry in Nicaragua. In more recent years of these 40 years, our focus has been primarily on the medical and educational ministry run by an organization called AMOS. AMOS is so called because it was formed to continue the ministry of brotherly love that was articulated by that Old Testament prophet. But the name AMOS is also an acronym for a ministry of sharing. And for the last 10 years, it has been run by two American Baptist missionaries, both doctors, Drs. Laura and David Parahon. When AMOS was started about 10 years ago, its operating budget was about $150,000. The budget for 2018 is just about $1.8 million, and they have done a remarkable job over the last 10 years in developing a ministry that has brought relief and comfort to people in the remote parts of Nicaragua. As most of you know, by reading the newspapers, there has been a considerable political upset in Nicaragua, which has severely impacted the work of non-government operations like AMOS. The problem started in April when Marlene and I were both in Nicaragua, but we were not in any way responsible. We were affected by what was happening immediately, though. Since then, things have got worse, and that has seriously impacted the budgets of AMOS, both for this year and by implication possibly also for 2019. As a result of the serious effects that it has had on the budget, the Finance Committee of AMOS is going to be meeting here in Ann Arbor this Saturday to discuss how we make adjustments to meet the crisis that has been created by the political situation. Drs. David and Laura Parahon will both be here, and two Nicaraguan members of the board are coming as well, so that not only will the American members of the Finance Committee, but the Native members also will be here to contribute to the discussion. We are going to be meeting here all day on Saturday, but all of the Finance Committee members will be here for worship on Sunday morning, a week from today, and Dr. Laura will speak briefly during the worship service. But after coffee hour, there is going to be a special second hour, which we hope that you will all come for and participate in, when there will be a report by Dr. David and Dr. Laura and by other members of the board, and questions and answers, questions may be asked and answers will be given. You can find out what is happening. I need to tell you that the Mission Action Board of our church, at the request of myself and some others, made an additional contribution to the budget of AMOS of $5,000, which was transferred earlier this month, and which is helping to meet the big gap that has been created. So please make a point of being here on Sunday, hear Dr. Laura in the service, and ask questions of all of the board when we meet during second hour. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. You'll find in your bulletin a connection card. We invite you to take a look at that. Our hope is that it would help us do just as it says, to make connections. You can fill out the information on the front, and on the back there are opportunities for next steps. Today you'll see that there's lemonade on the lawn. We'll have some yard games out there, some lemonade, some treats. There will also be coffee downstairs. Don't worry, you'll get your coffee too. We hope that you'll stick around and spend time connecting with one another. You'll see there also a mention of Godly Play. I'll be out in the hallway. Alicia will be too. And if you have any questions about that new initiative with children here this fall, please come see me. You'll also find on the back of your bulletin all the information about who is leading our worship by preaching and with music, and a little note about Paul and Stacy. They're off listening to their boys sing and play today. So now let's do the thing we came to do, to worship the living God, to receive the forgiveness that Jesus has offered already, and to be empowered to be lights in the world. Let us worship.
Please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. God of warm summer mornings and of the soft cries of babies, God of the mountain and of the whale, join us now in this place, your sanctuary. Enter our hearts and minds that we may feel your presence and discern your will for this service and for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I will bless God at all times. I called for help, and God answered me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt the name of God together.
Testament reading comes from the book of 1 Kings. This is part of the story of Elijah, the prophet who warns and calls kings to repentance. He has just come off his greatest public miracle, in which he proves that 450 prophets of Baal, the god of fertility, he proves that they are false, and then he orders them executed. This outrages Queen Jezebel, a worshiper of Baal, who orders Elijah to be killed. So he runs for his life, and this story takes place near the end of that run. He leaves his servant in Judah, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Creator God, during these days of summer, we give you thanks for the warmth of the sun, for the rain when it comes, the crashing of waves, majestic sunsets, the ripe tomatoes, and for the juicy peaches. As we enjoy your creation, we also give thanks for other blessings that come with this season. We are grateful, God, for a slower pace to our days, for time to read under the trees, for time to spend with family and friends. May we know your deep love for us as we take time to laugh, to play, to forgive, and to love each other well. God, we ask for your forgiveness for the ways we miss the mark. Personally, as the church, and as a country. Help us to be people who are quick to listen to our neighbors, our poor neighbors, our neighbors of color, our migrant neighbors, our Muslim neighbors, our neighbors in Nicaragua, and our neighbors who farm. Help us to love others as we love ourselves. We give you thanks for Community Action Network, who serves our under-resourced neighbors here in Washtenaw County. We ask that their support system would be broad and deep. We ask that they would continue to have a big impact as they run programs to educate children and youth, to stabilize families, and build strong communities. We give you thanks for our neighbors they serve. And it is our honor, Lord, to support their work today and throughout the year. And now we lift up our family and friends with whom we know to pray by name. For Richard Bates, Omer Robbins, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Stacy Simpson Duke, Juanita Dearly, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lin, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Jim Terrace, Kay, Charlene, Katie, and Colin Campbell. You know the longings of our hearts, the prayers we don't know how to put into words. We come before you now in silence. Jesus teaches us what it means to be a neighbor to others and how to pray. Let us pray now, following his lead. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The word of the Lord. And now I'd like to invite the children to come forward for their time with Zan.
This doesn't happen very often, where we're singing and getting ready, and backpacks keep coming up to the flower table, to the chancel. Who knows what's going on with all these backpacks? Does anybody know what's going on? Teresa, can you tell us a little bit?
It's people that don't have backpacks.
They're for people who don't have backpacks. What's inside of them, Samuel? Can you tell us what's inside? School supplies. Yeah, there are a lot of backpacks, and they're very full. Did you see how hard it was to carry them up here? Yeah, they're very full. Teresa and Samuel know they are very full. These backpacks are for kiddos who are served by CAN, Community Action Network. We say CAN for short. And they do important work with people who don't have a lot of money. They're kids just like you who have great brains and are great readers who love to write, and hopefully they really love math. That's my favorite. And these backpacks are for them. Just like you have backpacks, it's our way of loving our neighbors as ourselves. And we do this thing together. When we bring them all together, we do something called a blessing. And I've been thinking about that word blessing. It's kind of like a prayer. It's kind of not. It's this mix of things. It comes from the word benediction, too, that has this deep root in the word of, it's a good word. We're giving a good word. We hear that story, we heard it just a couple weeks ago, where God takes the bread before Jesus, feeds the 5,000 plus people. And it says that Jesus blessed the bread, gives God thanks for the bread. In other words, Jesus says, God, you're good, we know that already. Now, do great things with this bread. So it's kind of like a prayer, and it's a little bit of just saying, hey, we know you're good. And we want good things to happen. So we're going to do this with these backpacks. We're going to bless them. We're going to put our hands towards them. Can you do that right now? Can you put your hands towards them? That's our blessing, yes. Actually, why don't you go grab a backpack? Can you grab a backpack? Because we're going to involve the grown-ups in our blessing. Oops. Can you grab a backpack, kiddos? Can you grab one real quick? And bring it down here. And we're going to do a blessing. The kids are going to say, God, you are good. We're going to say, God, you are good. And the grown-ups are going to say, do great things. We're talking to God. So we're going to say, God, you're good. And you all are going to say, do great things. Because we trust that God's going to do big things with these backpacks. Are you guys ready? Kids, did you hear your part? God, you're good. Can you help us? Let's do it three times to bless these backpacks. Grown-ups, you can put your hands out while we do this blessing over these backpacks and the kids they're serving, the kids they're for Community Action Network's work. Okay, are you guys ready to do your big voices? Your line is, God, you're good. Are you ready? Here we go. God, you're good. Do great things. God, you're good. Do great things. God, you're good. Do great things. Amen. Thank you.
Will you pray with me? God of grace, may these words and our hearts join with your living word and presence with us here today and beyond today. Amen. When we were growing up in the small town of Medina, New York, my mother got this idea that she might expand our horizons by introducing new food at mealtime. So every once a week or so, something new and different would appear at the table. Tacos might show up, or curry, or some other food that we had never seen before. But the meal that we will never forget is the one where she served octopus. Canned octopus. She had it on a little platter, and she passed it around the table. My sister Holly absolutely refused to touch it. So the meal proceeded. But at some point, Holly got distracted and someone slipped a little bit of octopus on her plate. And when she turned back and saw that pink, oily bit of tentacle sitting there, she lurched back in horror, lost her balance, and fell off the chair. And there may have been some screaming involved. It didn't turn out as my mother had hoped, but my mom understood that what happens at the table goes beyond the table. She thought that a little taste of octopus might make us curious about the wider world. Braver. She was wrong about that part, but she believed that a meal could offer what Richard Rohr calls a grace that might move us toward greater maturity, inclusivity, and wisdom. Thousands of years before the octopus incident, a worn-out, exhausted Elijah bumped into some table grace of his own. For him, it was a little bread baked on hot rocks and a pitcher of water that did, in fact, make him braver. It gave him the courage and the strength that he didn't think he had to get up and go on. Elijah's story has a lot of exciting chapters in it, but this is not one of them. Fire, brimstone, miracles, and massacres happen before we get to this part. And thunder and earthquake and conversation with God and confrontation with kings happen after. Here, all we have is a discouraged prophet, wearing out, falling asleep, and an angel who keeps waking him up with bread and water. There are a couple of things we might notice about this bland story. One is that Elijah has to stop before he meets this angel. Stacy preached about this a few weeks ago, the spiritual practice of stepping away from our over-busy, over-distracted lives to make room, to make time, to notice God, who is always there, ready to be noticed. Elijah doesn't slow down because he wants to. Failure, fear, doubt, burnout push him off that prophet treadmill he's on. But he does stop. And it is then that he can meet an angel. You'd think, though, that it would be more than bread and water for the mighty Elijah. I mean, he is a big deal prophet. Shouldn't it be a chorus of angels? Or at least a feast? But God shows up small here. One angel. Bread baked on the rocks. A pitcher of water. And the language in the story tells us this isn't the first time. That Hebrew word for hot rocks can also be translated coals. And in the story of Isaiah, God puts a hot coal to the lips of Isaiah. I think this is metaphorical, but it's to purify and restore him when he balks at the call of God. And then that word for pitcher appears earlier in Elijah's story with the almost starved widow of Zarephath. She has a pitcher that somehow when Elijah comes and the presence of God is felt, fills up with oil and won't run out. So she's able to feed herself and her son and Elijah. God has a habit of helping failing prophets. And of course, this is not the last time that bread and drink will reveal the grace of God. There is Jesus coming, the bread of life. And Jesus is always expressing God's love around the table. Just like the Elijah story, it's not all that exciting when it happens. But this is where Jesus does nothing less than rearrange the whole social order by where and what and with whom he eats. He widens circles. He pulls down walls. He offends the system of dominance and power. He puts octopus on the plate at the table. It's no accident that the table is a central piece of furniture in the sanctuary. That the table is the central practice, coming to the table, central practice of worship, and not just in church. Jesus didn't ask his disciples to have a social ethic. He wanted us to be one, everywhere, all the time. Once, as a young adult, I visited a church that practiced something called closed communion. Two words that I think should never go together. When the server with the bread and juice came to the aisle where I was sitting with my friends, he looked and could see that we were not members of the church, so he looked away and then went on down to the next pew. Surely, we are meant to embody the grace of the table where everyone is welcomed, is nourished, is blessed. Jesus was always pulling up another chair. A church in San Francisco makes the table the centerpiece of their life more than most. They are faced with a large food insecure population. And so they took out all the pews in the sanctuary. That alone is a huge undertaking. Try to move just one pew in a sanctuary and see what happens. But they took out every pew so that they could fill the sanctuary with tables and pile them high with groceries to feed their neighbors. Every Friday afternoon, they distribute 9 tons of fresh vegetables and bread and meat to 1,500 people. They have wandering musicians playing, and they give away fresh cut flowers with the groceries. They treat people with dignity and grace. And then on Sunday, they pull in the chairs and set them up and have a traditional worship service. Our table ministry at First Baptist includes Vesper meals and warming shelter and potlucks, shared suppers, lemonade on the lawn, a picnic coming up this fall. We take meals to the bereaved, the ill, new parents. We might also open our own tables in our homes to colleagues, to neighbors, to people who are different from us, people who will be receiving these backpacks, for example, someone new at church, someone not new at church, whom we don't know yet. These are all moments to make a place for God's grace. We also have fellowship hour following worship, and you get there by going out the door and down the stairs. It's a very simple offering of a few cubes of cheese on a platter and crackers and cookies. There's coffee. There are pitchers of water, very biblical. Last Sunday, Peter and I volunteered to host, and it's not hard. Instructions are clear. Experienced people will help you. You can sign up right on the table. I brought some chocolate chip cookies. A young mother came over. Her little boy beside her, he had a kind of a worried look on his face. She asked whether the cookies had peanuts in them, to which he was allergic. When I said no, no peanut has ever touched these cookies, a look of pure joy came over his face. That sight would be enough to restore any weary prophet. And then, after the meal, a first-time visitor and a second-time visitor stayed to help clean up. And I'm not sure, but out of the corner of my eye, I think I saw many other moments of kindness and hospitality happening in that room. This is table grace. This is the presence of God. Back to the octopus. My sister grew up to accomplish many acts of courage in her life, not involving octopus, but including raising three responsible, adventurous sons, now raising their own beautiful families. Let us set a table where God will meet us to restore and to bless and to challenge us, because God always does. There is grace. Friends, in response to God's grace, knowing that together our gifts may touch and help some of the suffering of the world in ways that we never could do alone, let us give generously. Let us give with joy. God, we thank you for the means and the opportunity to share today of the abundance of blessings we have received. Help us to follow you always in the practice of grace and generosity. Let our giving this morning encourage us to give of ourselves beyond this hour, beyond this day, not only our dollars, but also our compassion, our time, our understanding, forgiveness, friendship, encouragement, whatever it is that we have and the world needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opportunity in worship to extend a hand, to reach out with our hearts, to bless one another in the name of God. The peace of Christ be with you. And now, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.